You're listening to SBS News.
The nation was ablaze as tens of thousands of firefighters battled the Black Summer bushfires. 24 million hectares were burnt, more than 3,000 homes destroyed, and 3 billion animals killed. Then reports started to surface about a little-known virus in a Chinese city called Wuhan.
Brisbane man is in isolation tonight after suffering symptoms similar to a potentially deadly new virus that's rapidly spreading from China.
Within weeks, it spread to countries across the globe as infections rose and deaths mounted. The world was caught on the back foot. This message from the Director General of the World Health Organization.
We're deeply concerned both by the alarming levels of spread and severity and by the alarming levels of inaction. We have therefore made the assessment that COVID-19 can be characterized as a pandemic.
World governments scrambled to contain the outbreak, declaring states of emergencies and shutting down whole cities. With supply chains disrupted, world markets took a hit. CMC Markets chief strategist Michael McCarthy summed up the week like this in late February.
It's been a very ugly finish to a very ugly week. The pressure on the Australian market appears to be relentless, and every single sector has finished in the red.
The pandemic caused the worst global economic crisis since the Great Depression, forcing leaders around the world to act. Christine Lagarde from the European Central Bank urging a coordinated fiscal response.
An ambitious and coordinated fiscal policy response is required to support businesses and workers at risk.
US President Donald Trump rolled out the relief measures.
I will soon be taking emergency action, which is unprecedented, to provide financial relief.
Australia was no different. Prime Minister Scott Morrison announcing an immediate travel ban.
A travel ban will be placed on all non-residents, non-Australian citizens coming to Australia.
Movement ceased and sectors struggled, and the aviation industry was crippled overnight as Qantas CEO Alan Joyce grounded the fleet.
We'll now suspend all scheduled international flights from the end of the month.
Businesses went bust and millions lost their jobs. These Australians told SBS News of their heartache as they lined up at the Centrelink offices.
For job opportunities and how the government can help us. The Aussie battler right now. I think we're all Aussie battlers.
I had a good job, and I was enjoying it, and my boss told me a few days ago that I was laid off, so unfortunately this is what I got to do now.
Panic permeated the nation with people stockpiling goods from the supermarkets, and toilet paper was soon running out. New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian calling for calm and common sense.
We have a big factory in Penrith that produces toilet paper, a big factory in South Australia that has pallets moving out the door. Everybody, please stay calm and be rational.
Banks cut interest rates to record lows as the government unveiled its biggest stimulus package in Australian history. Parliament was sitting late, with the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, rushing through measures aimed at keeping the country ticking.
The ayes have it.
The package of economic measures that were passed by the Parliament tonight were the most significant to support the Australian community and the Australian economy since wartime.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison emptied the Commonwealth coffers.
Today I announce that we are committing $130 billion over the next 6 months to support the jobs and livelihoods of what we anticipate of being almost 6 million Australians.
The government announced the JobKeeper scheme, a $1,500 a fortnight payment to keep people employed, while JobSeeker was made available for those laid off. Billions of dollars were pumped into the economy to keep it from collapse. The Treasurer was frank with his figures.
Treasury are forecasting real GDP to have fallen by 7% in the June quarter, with household consumption, dwelling investment, business investment and exports all expected to fall as a result of the COVID crisis.
He rallied Australians for the long journey ahead.
Our economy has taken a big hit, and there are many challenges we confront. We can see the mountain ahead, and Australia begins the climb.
Finance Minister Matthias Cormann told The Nation the Australian economy was officially in recession for the first time in almost 30 years.
We all know why we are here in this position. Overwhelmingly, we're here because of the massive fiscal impact of the coronavirus pandemic.
As summer temperatures heated up, some Australians lost patience, heading for the sand and the sea, prompting this warning from the Health Minister, Greg Hunt.
What happened in Bondi was unacceptable, and the local council must take steps.
And just when people thought they were in the clear, a devastating second wave hit Victoria. The human toll quickly adding up. Premier Dan Andrews became a regular fixture with his updates to the media.
9,998 cumulative cases of coronavirus in the Victorian community, 723 new since we last updated you.
Victoria's Chief Health Officer Brett Sutton added this stark warning.
When you've got significant transmission, when you've got 70 odd cases every day, there is absolutely an expectation that some of those people will die.
The aged care sector was horribly underprepared and under-resourced, the pandemic exposing huge faults in the decaying system. The Commonwealth's purse strings were loosened some more as the Prime Minister extended JobKeeper.
JobKeeper is doing its job and will continue to do its job.
The Shadow Treasurer, Jim Chalmers, urged the government to keep the support flowing.
Now is the worst time for the government to be winding back JobKeeper while unemployment is still rising.
Scott Morrison tried to encourage Australians to hang on, keep isolating and follow tough restrictions as he and his ministers attempted to revive the economy.
We are not through this yet, not by a long shot, and there is still much more to be done.
The government invested in science as the best and the brightest brains across the globe carried out trials on vaccines. Several candidates showed promise, Chief Medical Officer Dr. Brendan Murphy picking the front runners.
The first doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine are actually coming from overseas early next year. All of the four vaccines are planned to have scheduled delivery during the course of next year.
Meanwhile, trade tensions between Canberra and Beijing continued to escalate. Trade Minister Simon Birmingham told the Senate the government remains committed to the relationship.
Australia remains committed to constructive and workable relations with China. I hope that fundamentally this is something that the Chinese government wants too.
Barley, wine, lobster, coal, timber and beef, all joining the long list of Australian exports being targeted with tariffs.
And we continue to raise issues of apparent or potential discriminatory actions targeted against Australia. The Australian government is considering all dispute settlement options in order to support our exporters and to ensure they can compete on fair terms.
The relationship between the two nations at its lowest point in 50 years. Scott Morrison demanded an apology from Beijing after a tweet was published in the account of a Chinese official, showing a fake image of an Australian soldier holding a knife to the throat of an Afghan child.
The Chinese government should be totally ashamed of this post. It diminishes them in the world's eyes.
China refused to back away, its ambassador to Australia playing down the saga.
People wondered why a national leader would have such a strong opinion to an artwork done by a normal young artist in China.
Meanwhile, the opposition continued to appeal to the government to get the tens of thousands of Australians stranded overseas back home.
Look, the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, had been managing the international borders since the beginning of the global pandemic. We'd have all 37,000 stranded Australians home by now, and we'd be able to welcome international students.
And as the nation started to look forward to a break from an unforgettable year, federal politicians sat for the last time in 2020 in Canberra's Parliament House. The final messages from the Leader of the Opposition and the Prime Minister.
Last year, I started with the observation that it had been a very eventful year. And it was, but it had nothing on 2020, it's fair to say.
And so as we come to the end of this parliamentary year, and as we look forward to the Christmas period and the New Year period, we do look forward with a sense of hope.
Shubha Krishnan, SBS News.